Have you been injured in an accident that was probably your fault? Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferndorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage, and Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine, and they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.
My name is Maverick Matthews, and you are listening to Mindfire on KTLA Fringe FM.
But it's your job to bring your gift and to mend the part that you can touch.
It's unbelievable to have this kind of power.
What you got ain't nothing new. This country's hard to break. You can't stop what's coming. Ain't all waiting on you. That's vanity.
Reaching you with the most unnecessarily long synthesizer introduction in all of podcasting and modern radio, and yet somehow necessary. My name is Maverick Matthews, and you are listening to Mindfire on Fringe FM. Why is it necessary, Maverick? Well, I like to think of that introduction as a palate cleanser. You're about to get something new. This isn't some rote application of this media. This is something fresh. And that's not me banging my own drum. This week, I bring you something brand new. I'm reading you the introduction, or the first chapter, rather, in a book that I'm about to release. It is called The Wreath of Madness, and it comes out on December 24th. You can pre-order this book on my website at maverickmatthews.com. Please do that. It is one of the only sources of revenue for this show and for my family. And it is no secret that I am in a very strained custody battle for my son. You will hear the content in this chapter. And if you would like to help me in that struggle, if you would like to help a father know his own child, please consider buying a copy or pre-ordering a copy of this book. It will be released on December 24th. This is adult content. There's nothing explicit in here in terms of, like, descriptions, but there's a few cuss words. But it deals with serious subject matter. Very serious subject matter. Drug references. It's an honest reveal. What life in Hollywood can be like and what the spiral of madness can be like when relationships fail. I just wanted to create an honest compendium for my son if something were to happen to me. I think there's a beauty in that. I've always been a fan of Charles Bukowski. No one grows up wanting to be a person who has to live a sad life, a challenging life. And Bukowski once said, "No one chooses to be a writer. Writing chooses you." Well, that's absolutely true. I can speak to that from experience. I did not think this is what I would become one day. But I feel required to do it. This is the only way that I can reconcile my station in life. So I'm going to share with you a little bit from this book, and then, as usual, we have some electronic music for the second half. I'm re-releasing an older set from one of my other shows, Pepper for Your Steak. It's a DJ set I think you're going to enjoy. So on this Thanksgiving, remember that there are some folks who are spending it, like me, quite alone. Not intentionally,
not through any fault of their own, but because life has dealt them a hand of cards that they must somehow learn how to play. And I refuse to go quietly into the night. Please follow me on Instagram. You can find me at @the_real_MaverickMatthews. And my website is maverickmatthews.com. You can also go to fringe.fm for more information. So here it is, without further ado, the first chapter from my upcoming book, The Wreath of Madness, by Maverick Matthews. Thank you for listening to Mindfire. Thank you for being here. This is chapter one from The Wreath of Madness by Maverick Matthews. It's called Somewhere Forever. And each chapter opens with a quote. This chapter opens with a quote from the book Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. And the quote goes like this. I tell you this, as war becomes dishonored and its nobility called into question, those honorable men who recognize the sanctity of blood will become excluded from the dance, which is the warrior's right. And thereby will the dance become a false dance, and the dancers false dancers. And yet there will be one there always who will be a true dancer. And can you guess who that might be? Only that man who has offered himself entire to the blood of war, who has been to the floor of the pit and seen horror in the round, and learned at last that it speaks to his inmost heart. Only that man can dance. Airbnb Bungalow, Tampa, Florida, November 14th, 2022. Rain and reminiscing tonight. It seems a part of me will be forever left behind in our rented second-story apartment in Venice, Italy, drinking limoncello with my dying mother and rubbing CBD ointment on her sore and aching, tumor-ridden body before she tries to go to sleep. The flat sits at the end of a street which leads to one of the many canals, so it lacks foot traffic, which means it's relatively quiet, and that can be a rarity for some parts of Venice. It's on the second floor, atop a restaurant where we will eat some of the best seafood of my entire life, at a table just below our living room window on a cobblestone street. The five of us have been in Europe for several weeks now, all traveling together in a rented van where I sit on the back row because everyone else claims to get carsick. My wife gets carsick because she's pregnant. My mother gets carsick because she's dying of cancer. And my sister-in-law gets carsick because she likes to ride in the front seat next to my brother, her husband, who drives. Their one-year-old daughter rides, mostly smiling, in a car seat next to my mother on the front row. And so I sit on the last row with my headphones on because I can't hear what happens in the front of the van due to road noise. I can't engage in the daily banter as we travel. So I sit quietly, listening to audiobooks on esoteric alchemical history and European history, and trying desperately to reconcile my station in life as an expectant father with a dying mother and a wife who's pregnant, who I can't seem to deeply connect with despite our efforts and supposed love for each other. Despite our upcoming child, despite our intelligence and high incomes and Hollywood lifestyle, and multiple houses, and private clubs, and first-class vacations, and our clothes, and high levels of physical fitness, and the seemingly endless opening of the universe to our whims and desires. In fact, she will never truly be able to understand me, or even use the phrase, I love you, without a look in her eyes that makes me feel like she's saying it out of a sense of reflective obligation. In just a few years, she will leave me in the middle of the night and take my son with her in her brand new Land Rover Defender and drive from our rental house in North Idaho to the airport, where she will leave the car parked for several months while she goes to live with her sister in a $5 million compound in Florida. She will wait several more months before hiring an attorney and filing restraining orders against me, claiming I am a degenerate freak, an alcoholic, and a drug abuser, all the while admitting in court documents to many acts of violence against me during our long and turbulent fights. The court will tell me that angry text messages begging her not to destroy our family and relationship with my son are the same as domestic violence, and even though I was the one who de-escalated our fights by leaving the house to stay at our country estate, that I am the one who's guilty of madness, abandonment, and possibly a dangerous criminal. This is the same woman who, long before we ever dreamed of having a child together, used to dance for me naked at our cabin in the mountains hidden high above Los Angeles, while we both smoked cannabis and listened to Steely Dan, and who gave me a care package of many dangerous and illegal drugs for my 40th birthday, before doing them with me and the group of friends she had flown in secretly for the event. A woman who once told me that I could come to her at any hour, day or night, to make love to her, where I was given full license to do anything I wanted, or could even dream up, who later claimed she never loved me, or made such ridiculous promises, or bought me sex toys for Christmas to spice things up, and then revoked that offer, and said she would never use them with me because she didn't mean it, and why was I such a pervert anyway? For one fleeting moment, we were mated Olympian, and the next, I was just another scoundrel and a dangerous freak. This same woman left our son in my care for the evening so she could go out, quote, to have a drink with a girlfriend, and then got drunk and made advances towards this married woman and suggested that she and her husband involve her in a menage a trois, which they declined and admitted to me months later over dinner. And that was just 3 days before she left the state with my child, claiming I was a stark raving mad lunatic with whom my son was unsafe. She was an incredible animal who somehow managed to cultivate a kind of hatred for me that goes far past malice and into the realm of a truly darkened heart. I had the time of my life. Back in the flat in Venice, I rub CBD cream on my mother's back. She's thin, and I can feel each bone of her spine and even the lumps that I suspect are tumors. Her hair has barely started to regrow after the treatments. The fuzzy white bristles seem unusually soft. I shaved my own head in solidarity, and my bristles are hard and pointed and spiky, though tiny patches of gray have begun to appear in them and develop in my beard. My mother tells me that despite the obscenely strong pharmaceuticals she's been prescribed, the CBD ointment with the 3X THC is the only thing that actually helps with her pain. She tells me this in a voice that is soft and tired. My mother was diagnosed with end-stage cancer 6 months ago, after a freak accident where she flipped her SUV off a cliff in Hawaii and onto a grove of guava trees. The trees cushioned the fall in such a way that she came out essentially unscathed, except for the subsequent diagnosis. Investigation revealed that she had passed out at the wheel due to extremely low sodium levels. Cancer fucks up all the hormone and mineral levels in your body. During the scans after the car accident, they'd found several large spots on her lungs. I was with her when she received her final diagnosis, terminal lung cancer. The doctor, a longtime family friend who knew my father, who was also a doctor, delivered the news calmly, as though he was reading off a menu at a Sunday brunch. I was furious at his demeanor, because I had enough medical knowledge to know better. He should have been fucking crying and hugging her and saying, "I'm so sorry, Dana, I love you, I love you." But the fucker just looked at her and said, "It's gonna be okay, we'll fight this and move on." So many doctors are dead inside. They deliver diagnosis after diagnosis that kills their patients. It's no wonder that the blind adherence to methodologies of Big Pharma are now just simply accepted, destroying the practice of medicine. There's no practice. There's only a strict demand to obey. It's true, new doctors no longer take the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. I've watched several of these modern white coat ceremonies, and now an oath of allegiance and servitude has been substituted in its place. Go and watch them for yourselves. And here was another asshole faker delivering just another message of death to someone he supposedly called a family friend. And you would think he was just telling her that her dog needed a bath. Pay your bill on the way out. In the apartment bedroom, I look at my mother's port on her chest as she changes the bandage which covers it. And the concept is so revolting to me that I suddenly feel lightheaded and a sense of nausea. A chemo port is a plastic tube sewn directly into a major artery in the chest, where last month they poured in poison and continue to pretend it will make a difference against the cancer she's fighting. It won't make a difference. But it will diminish her quality of life significantly and cost many, many thousands of dollars and hours of repercussive therapy. Recovery. It's not that I don't have any fault in this It's not that I don't have any faith in this therapy. I despise it, and I know it is robustly fake. And so do a lot of doctors in our country that I've talked to. But you won't hear from them anymore. In medical schools, students used to be exposed to things called tumor scars in the bodies which they dissected. These were places where tumors had developed, but the body had naturally reabsorbed and cannibalized the tissue, thus ridding the body of the condition. Students no longer see many tumor scars in the bodies they dissect. In the 1970s, our country ate twice as much red meat as it does now, and our cancer rates back then were half of what they are in the present day. This is not a coincidence. Tumors have to eat. They have to be fed. They are an aggressively hungry mass of tissue, and the way to prevent and get rid of them is by getting rid of their food. And their food is sugar. You want to know how they image tumors in the body? They take sugar and make it radioactive, and then store it in tungsten tubes until they inject this radioactive poison into your body, and it goes right to the tumors. You want to kill a tumor? Become a carnivore. Sharks never get cancer. The Inuit, who eat nothing but whale meat, have the lowest cancer rates in North America. But most of this is too much. All too much for here. Big Pharma isn't about curing. It's about expensive treatments. Frequently unnecessary treatments. You want to know the deepest secret of all? Look up the word iatrogenesis. And realize that it may be the biggest killer in our country. A killer 99% of the people here will never hear about. Because it implicates the medical industry itself as the largest killer of Americans on the planet. Which, of course, is true. But there was never any contributive talk regarding nutrition from the doctors. It wasn't even mentioned. Mostly because food has nothing to do with how the medical industry makes its money. At least, not directly. Not directly because those who control Big Pharma also control Big Food, which is just another institution designed to make sure you get sick and stay sick. What a brilliant system. Make money creating a problem, and then make money providing a fake solution. Don't believe me? Visit the cafeteria in any hospital. Eat that food long enough, and you will most certainly get sick. We don't prevent disease in this country. We cultivate it as fast as possible, and then spend the rest of our money and our lives stretching out the payments and the days left, cutting people up like sausages to plant plastic tubes in their bodies so the poison can go directly into their bloodstream, into their hearts, into their lives, and their souls. The doctor who oversaw the operation to implant the port in my mother, an oncologist who was brand new at the clinic when my mother was first admitted, will soon leave the island and perhaps his line of work. He tells my brother, "We've been fighting the same thing for 2,000 years and haven't made a lick of progress. Men still die of the same cancer that killed them in ancient Greece." He quit shortly before my mother died. A day nurse at the clinic told me that he was disgusted with the rote adherence to ineffective treatments that were staggeringly expensive. And he also hated the head nurse practitioner, whom he said was a tyrant and didn't give a shit about her patients. He left the state shortly thereafter. It was their fourth oncologist in 4 years. Somehow, a part of me will be in that Venice flat forever, drinking limoncello from out of the freezer as my family sprawls on the couches around the television, listening to my mother laugh while we watch National Lampoon's European Vacation. It was my idea to make everyone sit down together, and they obliged begrudgingly, and then each one of them came up to me individually later and said it was one of the best moments of the trip. I remember looking at my mother and then over at my pregnant wife, as we all watched. I couldn't have either one of those women in my life forever. But that movie, at least, will be forever. And that means we will somehow all be locked inside it, in that living room, for that evening, after the seafood dinner next to the canals, with the wine and the laughter, for as long as that movie exists. But I haven't been able to watch it since then without crying, which is a kind of collateral damage I hadn't counted on. And now my mother is dead, and I can't even be with her ashes, because part of them are on the bottom of the sea outside the break wall of the King Kamehameha Hotel in Kailua Kona, Hawaii, where we had her paddle-out ceremony, and the rest are sitting on the mantle of my darkened ranch cabin in far north Idaho, and I'm in some stinking rental in the bowels of the American toilet that is Florida, chasing my son and his mother into oblivion and beyond. And I haven't seen him in 11 months, and I stopped the court-appointed once-a-week video visits because I could see that they were fucking him up psychologically, that he just wanted to hug his daddy, and he didn't understand why his daddy had just become a cartoon on a screen. So now there are tacos and bottles of wine, and the wide-open tomb that has become this country with its disgusting lack of compassion for anything other than making money and madness and ejaculate and coconut oil and fake electric cars and faces puffy from bad nutrition and no sleep and the road that goes on forever without any music, but still, it will never end.
All right, that is the introduction, first chapter to my new book, The Wreath of Madness. If you would like to pre-order a copy, go to maverickmatthews.com and click the pre-order link. This book is expected to be released on December 24th. It is a collection of short stories from my time in Hollywood, leading through the disillusion of my marriage and subsequent challenges in my life. So it's obviously kind of a heavy thing, but the best way to honor something is to, in my opinion, create an honest record of what it was. So thank you for indulging that. Let's get to the electronic music. As usual, it's a banger. Thank you for being here. Visit fringe.fm for more information. My name is Maverick Matthews, and this is Mindfire.
across the spring, the thicket, perhaps 50 yards distant, where I had found my mother. And lastly, this sandbank where Adele loved to play as haphazardly as any mammal. We had camped here in a full moon on a warm August night when her ebullience came close to hysteria. And though I was young and half mad myself, I justly feared for her sanity.
She climbed trees in her underclothing and sang quite nicely. She wrote fairly well in the English style, but adapted immediately to my cow horses. Eva. She climbed trees in her underclothing and Eva.
You're listening to another episode of Mindfire with Maverick Matthews. Thank you for tuning in, only on KTLA Fringe FM. Please visit fringe.fm for more information or go to my website, maverickmatthews.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at the_real_MaverickMatthews and burn away the new dystopia.
Have you been injured in an accident that was probably your fault? Cranston Injury Law wants to get you the most for your injury.
I had my hand crushed in a Ferdorf Trenolator, and there was soft tissue damage, and Cranston Injury Law sued that company out of business just because I had misused the machine, and they got me $7 trillion for my settlement.
Cranston Injury Law.